Welcome to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome to the Grace Hour for this Wednesday. We come to you from Baltimore. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis, your host for today. Pastor John Love is going to have the message in just a moment. I want to thank you for being with us here on this afternoon. Groundhog Day, as they call it here in America. Don't ask me why. Actually, I know why. It's like supposedly a groundhog comes out of his burrow. And if he sees his shadow, that means the winter's going to be a little bit longer, kind of counterintuitive. If it's cloudy and he doesn't see his shadow, the legend goes that the winter will be shorter. So the word that we got from Punxsutawney, PA, which is supposedly the official groundhog for the United States of America, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, which means winter will be a little bit longer, as if it hasn't been long enough already for some of you. Anyway, that's just a little bit of a history, especially for those of you who are watching around the world. You wondered what it means for America to talk about groundhogs on February 2nd. I don't know. It just is some sort of legend that we Americans have bought into, another triviality. You know, when you got a lot of time, that kind of happens. Anyway, we want to talk about the things of God today on this Wednesday, as we do on the Grace Hour every day. And we want to remind those of you who are listening, and you might be within driving distance of our campus here at Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. We are located on Moravia Park Drive, 6025 Moravia Park Drive, to be exact. And tonight at 7 o'clock, as we do every Wednesday, we'll have a church service, and we'll sing, we'll have a message, and from the Bible, from our pastor, and you can enjoy that. You are welcome to be a part of that tonight at 7 o'clock here at Greater Grace Church. And if you're looking for something to eat, we do have an on-campus cafe. You could buy a sandwich or something on your way into church, get a coffee or a tea. We'd love for you to do that, and also that cafe is open after the service closes for about an hour or so after the service, so you could hang out for a while. That's really our pattern. We meet, we sing, we listen to the Word of God, and then we talk a lot, and we found it to be very healthy for our church. We like to discuss the message and the things that are going on in our lives and how God can encourage us. So without any more words from me, I'd like to turn over the microphone or have turn over the broadcast. Pastor Love has his own microphone. I also have my own microphone. But Pastor Love is going to take us into the message. We have a theme this week, and he can elaborate on that theme for us. Pastor?
That theme, of course, grace and the call of God. Just a quick note, and Pastor Steve, I think you're probably aware of this, regarding Punxsutawney Phil, because, We became acquainted with Punxsutawney Phil when we lived in Indiana, Pennsylvania, for about a year back in the late 1970s. So we were aware of you know, Groundhog Day, and we might have got out there, I think, one time to watch the whole occasion. Wow. But there was one time, because of the intense cold weather, that they had, you know, Punxsutawney Phil kind of wrapped up inside the big overcoat of the person who was holding him before he came out to check his shadow. In any case, after they realized that they kept him in there so long that he suffocated, he died. And what they had to do, because all of the media from around the country and around the world had gathered there in such a big crowd, was that they had to kind of prop him up, even though the poor little groundhog had passed away, just so that they could continue with the you know, very annual occasion that means so much to so many people. But I thought that was kind of humorous. Poor Punxsutawney. They kept him inside the coat for too long.
Yeah, well, that's
It happens.
I guess it does.
At least it happened once.
I guess it did. It's a legend.
It is.
The legend grows.
It does indeed.
We promise to take you. Pastor Love is going to take you
all right,
someplace else.
Away
with
from
the rest of our time.
Pennsylvania, yes. To the scriptures we go. And again, the grace and the call of God upon our lives. Well, let's begin with a verse found in the book of Romans, the 11th chapter, the 29th verse. The Apostle Paul is speaking there. Really, in chapters 9, 10, and 11, about the nature and the place of Israel in God's plan and purpose, especially even during this church age. In other words, we're well aware that during this present age of grace, that God is calling out from among Jews and Gentiles a people of his own. And he is making of Jew and Gentile one new man, that is his body, his church. And in the midst of Paul's, again, narrative regarding the place of Israel, the place of the church in God's present plan, he talked about the fact that God has not forsaken Israel as a nation. He has not written them off. He has not turned his back on them. And he kind of culminates that train of thought by reminding us in Romans 11, verse 29, that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, which is to say that when God calls, he doesn't change his mind. And when God calls, that call is going to stand. Now, people having their own free volition, of course, can reject that call and not respond to that call. But nevertheless, the call of God is present. And it remains, and it's unchanging, and it's without repentance. So Romans 11:29, and then I'm going to turn over to Psalm 23, verse 6. Listen to what it says there. The psalmist, of course, in this beautiful Psalm of David, the shepherd psalm, beginning with David reminding us that the Lord is shepherding him, and because he is, he shall not want. Well, we get down to the last verse of Psalm 23, a psalm that we're all familiar with in a very good way. And he reminds us that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, when you hear that, it should create such an attitude of thanksgiving in our hearts, because this is the promise from God to you and I. Goodness and mercy will never stop following us. And notice what he says after that, all the days of our lives. Now, you know and I know, friends, that some of those days will be good days. Some of those days will be great days. But there will also be, mixed and mingled in with the good and great days, some difficult ones, some trying ones, some days that we sometimes can't wait to come to a conclusion. Hard days, challenging days. Paul described them in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as perilous times or perilous days. In other words, there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. But the promise from God is clear. No matter what those days are like, goodness and mercy will be following us. Which reminds us all that we have a pursuing God. A God who never quits, a God who never gives up on those that he has called. And we read in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 30th verse, that you and I are the called of God. That's us. Make no mistake about it, friends. If you're a born-again Christian, you fit into that category. You are the called of God. And this call happened in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, before time began. God promised that we would be saved. Imagine that we would be his before time began. And that call is not about to change. And that call stands firm. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And just to illustrate that point, you think about it. Adam and Eve in the garden, in paradise, God gave them everything they needed. They could partake of every and all of those trees, with one exception, of course. and is so typical of human nature, they wanted to partake of the one tree that God said, don't partake of that tree. I don't know what it is about us. Well, I suppose I do know what it is. I think we all know what it is. There's that sinful nature within our hearts. And even though God has blessed us and given us all kinds of good and perfect gifts, we always seem to want to reach out for something more, something that he warns us is dangerous, he warns us is forbidden, he warns us that could cause us harm and hurt our relationship with him. And that sometimes is the very thing that we just seek after. Well, that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. They did not listen to the voice of God, and they partook of that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then following that dreadful decision, what did they do? Well, they hid. And that is something that's in, again, the nature of all of us. It would be wonderful to think that every time that we failed, every time that we sinned, every time we made a mistake, that instead of retreating from God, that we would run toward him. But the nature of man is to always want to run away from God. That's Adam and Eve. That's their description in the garden. What did they do? They went and hid. They hid from God. And who was it that did the pursuing in that narrative that we read? Did Adam and Eve, after having a lengthy discussion, say to themselves, listen, this hiding from God is foolish. It's vain anyhow. We can't do it. We know that he is omniscient. We know that he's omnipresent. We know that he sees us. So let's just approach him. Let's just confess what it was that we've done. And who knows? Maybe there will be mercy. Maybe there'll be forgiveness. Even long before the human race had even heard about grace, maybe they thought, maybe there will be grace. Well, they didn't do that. They remain in their hiding. And that voice that they heard in the garden, that was God's voice. And it was God pursuing them. You see, that is the call of God in our lives. It's a pursuing call. It's a call that never gives up. It's a call that even when we are hiding from God, that call will find us again. That voice in the garden that Adam and Eve heard, that was the call of God. That was the voice of God. And then we read of Moses in the book of Exodus. And we know that as a child, spared by God, his parents moved with fear and refused to submit to the commandment of Pharaoh to kill the firstborn sons in all of Israel. They hid their son. They believed that this child was a special child, one that God was going to use, and they were right. And they hid their child. They refused to abide by the commandment of the king. And then, of course, Moses grew up and was raised in the palace of Egypt. He became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he received all of that training. He received all of that education. But then he came to a point in his life where he realized that he was a Hebrew, that he was one of the chosen people, one of those that God had called. And then, well, in his first attempt to deliver his people, because he sensed in his heart that that's why God had saved him and delivered him as a child, well, that first attempt at deliverance ended up a debacle. And Moses ran into the wilderness, into the desert as a fugitive, and no doubt probably thought to himself, that call of God that I sensed that was upon my life, that's over. That's in the rearview mirror. That'll never happen. I won't be able to be brought to that place again. But some 40 years later, that burning bush that Moses beheld in the wilderness, that again was the call of God. God seeking him out. God reinstating him. God pursuing him. God never giving up and never quitting on his chosen child. That's how the call of God works in all of our lives. And then from Moses, after he was recommissioned and was sent to deliver his people and did so by the great and powerful hand of God, then we read about Jonah. And we know about Jonah's story. He was sent by God, called of God, to go and to bring a message to the people of Nineveh. They were a wicked people. Some of their practices are historically documented. And Jonah, in his heart, did not want to see God deliver those people. In fact, what he wanted was to, for those people to be judged, for the wrath of God to come down upon them. But God spoke to his prophet Jonah and said, go and give them the opportunity to repent and to be delivered and to be saved. And Jonah said, certainly, I'll do that, Lord. And he got a ticket, got on a boat, and he went in the opposite direction. And Jonah on that boat, you know what he could do? He could look over his shoulder and see those clouds in the distance. That's God pursuing you, Jonah. That's the call of God, not saying, fine, you don't want to do my bidding, I'll find someone else. God does not easily, nor does he at all, give up on those that he has called. You can see that in the life of Jonah. I mean, God chased him down, friends. God pursued him. God wasn't about to give up on his prophet, even though his prophet was ready to give up on those that God called him to preach to. And he pursued him. And yes, through a series of fantastic events, being cast over the side of that ship by the other sailors and looking like he was ready to give up his life rather than to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh, God was prepared, and God prepared a great fish, and that great fish swallowed up Jonah, and God had conversations with him, and Jonah prayed from the belly of that great fish, and Jonah found himself washed up on the shore, spit out on the shore, and then recommissioned by God to go and to preach. The call of God never gives up on his people. You look at the history of Israel, and you see the call of God upon God's people, the nation of Israel, and their repeated idolatry, their repeated pursuing after false gods, their spiritual adultery, well chronicled throughout the entire Old Testament. And again, we see God reaching out to them, drawing them to himself, alluring them back into his presence. The call of God with the nation of Israel. And we read about the disciples on a boat that looks like it's going to perish because of the nature of the storm. And as they look out over the waters, over the storm waves, who do they see? Jesus coming to them, pursuing them, not allowing them to be perished or to perish under those circumstances, but seeking after the ones that he loves. It's the nature of the call of God. And then Peter, of course, with his brazen, outlandish remarks regarding Jesus, though all forsake thee, I will never forsake you. Though all abandon you, I will never abandon you. I'm ready to die for you. Jesus saying to him, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny that you even know me three times. And then we read in the scriptures, it happened. And I'm sure Peter, after denying the Lord three times, said, it's over for me. Time to go back to pursue up once again my fishing. And back to the boat he goes, back to the waters he goes. And then after resurrection Sunday, Peter, look on the shore. The breakfast that's being prepared, that's for you. And the one who prepared it, that's Jesus. Peter, you got a call of God upon your life. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God didn't make a mistake. God is not looking to replace you. God is not going to get somebody else. It's going to be you, Peter, who's going to be restored. It's going to be you, Peter, that he's after. It's going to be you, Peter, who preaches the first message at Pentecost. Because the call of God, well, behind that call, there is a pursuing God. It doesn't matter how far away or how long you have gone down that road in the other direction. God is going to pursue you. He's never going to give up. He's never going to quit on those that he loves because he has called us. And he's paid such a price to redeem our lives. Think about it, friends. Is God about to give up on the ones that he died for? Is he about to turn his back on the ones that he shed his blood for? Is he about to replace those of us that haven't measured up, at least in our own minds or perhaps in the minds of others? No. The gifts, the calling of God are without repentance. There is no changing of God's mind. Again, we think to ourselves, but when he finds out about all of my imperfections, all of my weaknesses, all of my frailties, all of my shortcomings, what about my temper? What about those sinful struggles that still are found in my life? What about those habits that I've wrestled with for decades? Certainly, there's enough there for God to find a replacement, to call someone else. But he doesn't. He never stops pursuing the ones that he loves. And if we could ask him, Lord, why not? Why not choose someone else? Why not get someone more faithful, more committed, more loving, more loyal? The answer would be, the price I paid for you was too high. It's as if God is saying, when it comes to your life, your soul, your eternal destiny, your ministry, your call, I'm all in. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever change that. And if you need someone to ask, is it true? Is that really the case? David would tell you, yep, I committed adultery and I was king in Israel and I thought for certain that that would be the end of my reign. But he's the God who calls and he's the God who commits himself. Adam in the garden, yep, we hid. We thought it was over. We made the biggest mistake of our lives. But that voice we heard in the garden, that was God's voice. Looking for us, seeking us out. Moses, the fugitive, running away from God and running away from that call, he would meet God at the burning bush some 40 years later. Jonah, yeah, you can take a boat to a different direction, but he's going to find you and recommission you. And the word of God came unto Jonah the second time. Israel, the disciples, Peter, you, me, all of us that have been purchased by the blood of Christ, he's called us. The gifts, the calling of God will never change. Thank God. Thank God that goodness and mercy will be following us all the days of our lives. Father, bless these thoughts today. Thank you for the opportunity here in the Grace Hour to share them and encourage our hearts with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to the Grace Hour, coming to you live from our studio here at Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. And we invite you now to be a part of the program. Interactive talk radio requires that you talk. So 1-800-338-7060, a toll-free number you can use if you're in North America. If you're in the Baltimore area listening, maybe perhaps on the radio to WRBS Positive Talk 1230, we'd love to hear you at 410-483-3700. That's an international number also. Punch in the country code for the U.S. and dial 410-483-3700. Tell us where you're calling from. We'll get you on the air as soon as possible. And we're thankful that you're with us on the Grace Hour today. Again, before we sign off on the radio station today, we want to remind everyone that we are having a midweek service here at Greater Grace. That'll begin at 7 p.m. this evening, and you're welcome to be a part of it. Music, message, time of fellowship, come on out. Our address is 6025 Moravia Park Drive, the zip code in Baltimore 21206. We'd love to see you. Come on out and fellowship with us. You could even meet Pastor Love. And myself, Pastor Steve Androlinus, will be here tonight, as we are most Wednesdays, right? We wouldn't miss.
Amen. Amen.
Because we need that.
Boy,
and,
do we need
we need
it.
To be followed. It's great to be followed after by goodness and mercy, but it's also great to pursue truth and to assemble yourselves together so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's an amazing thing. Teresa says, good afternoon. And George also, amen. And also, what another profound message. That's a declaration from Tess, be a fruitful hearer. You have any comment on that there? Be a fruitful hearer? Yeah,
she's a fruitful hearer, that's for sure. She regularly tunes in, listens, and watches the Grace Hour all the way from Sweden, Malmo, Sweden. Amazing.
Yeah, I wonder what it must be there. Maybe they do it after dinner. I don't know. Some people eat dinner 3 in the afternoon, some at 6 in the evening. I'm wondering where Grace Hour fits into your program of life, especially on the continent there.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know. Maybe some of our listeners, different parts of the world, could tell us when they listen to the broadcast.
Yeah, it could be like in parts of Asia where actually pillow talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are laying down and tuning on the Grace Hour. And we hope that you don't put the Grace Hour on to help insomnia. We hope that you're engaged until the program goes off the air. That would be, if you know, we'd like to know that too. Do you fall asleep to the Grace Hour?
We hope not.
We hope not. Let's look at the disciples. Almost midnight in Mumbai. Almost midnight in Mumbai. There we go. That's good.
Praise God.
Awesome. Wow, that's good to know. Around the world, the Grace Hour is going on. And we're about out at the end of our radio time for this Wednesday. I want to thank you for listening to us. Again, a reminder, we'll be on the air again tomorrow, and tomorrow is Thursday. That means Pastor Stevens and his audio archive. And we'll take something out of that audio archive and play it for you. Tomorrow is Seize the Opportunity of Grace. Grace gives you opportunity. Do you notice them? I think you'll find that tomorrow's message is a lot about discernment and seeing what God is putting in front of you at all times. Just think about it. Make it a point to be listening tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. Again, we want to say thanks to all of those who tuned in on the radio today. If you can transition over to Facebook Live or YouTube Live, that'll be awesome. We're also at GraceHour.org. Everyone else, we'll be back in just about 15 seconds to keep talking about grace and the call of God. All right, welcome everyone. Those of you listening in the evening, we understand now we've got the time frame here for us. 7 o'clock in Sweden, 8 o'clock in the evening in Finland, and in Baku, Azerbaijan, it's 10:30 in the evening there, or however they do it, 22:30. Do they do military time? Some of these places do military time. I don't know why we call it military time, but that's counting up to 24, maybe just to be a little bit more accurate, so you don't know. Do I attack at 1 in the afternoon or 1 in the morning? There's a big difference there. Maybe that's why military time is the way it is. You know that 1300 is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, friends, we have our caller, our first call today, Caroline. She has a prayer request. Caroline, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm David Norwood's daughter.
Okay.
Nice to meet you, Caroline.
Nice to meet you. I was calling in because we were watching the Grace Hour together. And my daughter, she's 16 years old, and her name's Trinity. She started to cut herself on her wrist, I found out yesterday. And I'm very concerned for her. It's her living situation. Her grandparents are... they yell at her all the time. That's what the report said at the doctor's office that she had told them. Anyway, she's the sweetest kid. She's got the biggest heart, and she just needs a lot of prayer right now. I used to do the same thing when I was her age, so I guess I'm the most person that's going to understand it. So I've been on the phone with her off and on, but I'm just worried about her, and I just was wondering if you could pray for her. That would be wonderful.
Sure. Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, Father, we pray. We pray that the Holy Trinity's love, grace, and mercy would reach Caroline's precious daughter, Trinity. And we pray, Father, for a tremendous impartation of your grace so that she would understand who she is in Christ, that she would perceive her value, and that she would understand that she's one of your masterpieces. Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of her understanding so that she could comprehend these truths and respond to your great love. We pray that those who love her, care for her, and really want the best for her soul and for her future would just share these truths with her, and that you would just restore her to perfect health, Lord, and that the cutting and that the poor self-image and the lack of control that she may be experiencing in her life would be replaced with the understanding that she's in your hands and you love her, care for her, and you've prepared a blessed future for her. So we commit her to you today, and we pray, Father, that you would reach her supernaturally, miraculously, and do the deep, powerful, penetrating, eternal work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah, call anytime. Yes.
All right. You guys have a wonderful day, and I enjoy your program very much.
Thanks. Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hopefully you're noting that. You who are listening throughout the world, you'll keep Trinity in your prayers. And Pastor Love, you know, you've long time encounters with youth in various stages of these kind of acting out. And what kind of advice could you give Caroline or someone? You know, obviously kids act out in a variety of ways. This is just one of them. It's really, like you said, we're talking about grace and the call of God, and is like you said, you prayed about her identity and her self-image, and this is really like a torturous time for adolescents and young adults in particular, because they are not really given any definition about who they are.
Yeah, it's that's it. And of course, if you're in a difficult set of circumstances, and Caroline indicated that she is, you start to look for control in your life. And in many cases, everything is seemingly so out of control that they kind of focus in on one thing. For some, you know, maybe it's anorexia. Others, it may be cutting themselves. But beyond that, what is it but a cry? It's a cry for help. Mm-hmm. I'm hurting. I need help. I need someone to love me. I need, we could say it, what people really need. They need to know what God thinks about them.
Yeah.
And hopefully someone's going to be able to reach her and communicate these truths to her, because 16 years old, we know what the devil would love to do. The devil mm-hmm. is just, he knows, he's targeted this generation. We see it with social media.
Yes.
We see it with their need to, you know, almost derive their identity based upon social media. I mean, just think about it. That whole, you know, all of social media, whatever the platform may be, it's basically a young person asking, who likes me?
Yes.
Who cares about me?
Yes.
And we know that no one cares for us quite like Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, there's an interesting book about the rise of what they call the modern self. And just over the course of centuries, you know, self has become the centerpiece of people's lives. Rather than trying to fit into the community and into the purpose of God for which you were designed, it's almost like everything's been flipped around. You are raw material. Everything else is raw material. And you got to piece some sort of identity together on your own, rather than drawing something from the definitive statements from the Bible, because you don't get very far in the Bible before you get to that profound statement that says God made man and woman in his image. Male and female, he made them. It's like it's in his image. It's like, so there is, you know, we weren't just a pile of something that we, and then we have to figure out how to make ourselves into something. We were made by God, for God, according to his design and purpose. And that losing that, what does it bring, the chaos?
Yeah. This generation, more so than any other generation, has, we might call it the paper plate mentality.
Hmm.
And we all know when the warmer weather is here, summer comes, We use paper plates. And what do we do when the paper plates, when we're finished with them? Well, we throw them away. Hmm. So today you have a generation of young people that have this mental attitude that says, I don't have any value. You can just throw me away. Use me and throw me away. But what God wants to convey to them is that you're his fine china.
Hmm.
Right? I mean, we all have those cabinets in our homes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we'll break that out. We do too. Every once in a while, special occasions, we'll break out that fine china. And you know, Pastor Steve, when we're done with that fine china, we carefully wash it and we carefully place it back in its rightful place because of its value. Well, that's the way God wants this generation to see themselves, is that they are, you're my fine china. You're the best that I have ever made. But they're not hearing that. They're hearing that they're paper plates. The paper plate mentality. We got to change it by God's grace.
You're listening to The Grace Hour, coming to you live from Baltimore here at Greater Grace Church. Pastor John Love is here with me, Pastor Steve Androlonis. We'd like to hear from you, 1-800-338-7060. That's a toll-free number. Please call. Also, 410-483-3700. If you have a prayer request, that's awesome. If you have a question or a comment on what we're talking about, Pastor Love did a great job talking about just how the call of God is something that you can never escape. Really, you are living in the call of God, whether you choose to or not. You will be fitted into the purpose of God some way. And the story of Jonah is a tremendously fascinating one, because here's a man who wanted nothing to do with the call of God. God commissioned him to do a citywide evangelistic campaign to a city that, you know, frankly, was inhabited by vicious people, Assyrians, vicious, oppressive people. And but the grace of God, the mercy of God was directed toward that city. God had a prophet. That prophet was Jonah. Jonah decided he was not going to go preach. And what happened? God actually created another evangelistic situation for him on a boat with a storm. And Jonah got to preach to another group of people who were heathens. They were all worshiping their gods, trying to stop the storm, and nothing was happening. It was only when Jonah came up, was brought up from below decks to tell people about the true God and what the true God had said, that they listened, and they listened in throwing Jonah overboard, and then they had to watch as the storm stopped. So, you know, if you're called to something, as Jonah was, God may find a way to fit you into an extra added purpose that you opened the door to because of your disobedience. So,
it's fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
Because they, the other shipmates, you know, they all like, we checked in with our gods, and we're all good.
That's right.
How about you? And Jonah said, no, it's, yes, I'm the problem. And they said, they actually said to him, essentially, well, why don't you repent? Why don't you make it right?
Yeah.
He says, no, thanks. Yeah. He preferred death to doing the will of God. I mean, is it possible that God's prophet would say, I'd rather die than to do what God's asked me to do?
Yeah.
Can we reach that place in our lives? The answer is yes, but could God still have a plan to reach us despite the place we've reached in our lives? The answer is yes.
Mm.
It's amazing.
So that's it. Yeah, the call of God. The call of God in his gracious gracious way, goodness and mercy following after you. Look over your shoulder. That's what's there. Look ahead of you. God is leading you. That's a great concept to get settled in your mind, a great reality, let's say. It's beyond a concept, it's a reality. If you are in Christ, if you are hid with Christ in God, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. There's that famous, There's that famous poem writing about the footprints in the sand. You know, there's two sets of footprints when Jesus is walking beside you, and then there's one set of footprints when Jesus is carrying you through the disaster that you might wander into. I mean, it's trite. Maybe you find that trite, but, you know, Jesus spoke in many parables, and that's sort of a parable about what God is really doing with us. He's right beside us. He'd like to be us to be in agreement, yoked up together with him. But when we're not, it's like, okay, he throws us over his shoulder. Okay, you want to be, you want to be like sort of wandering away from the fold. I'll just carry you until you're ready to stand on your feet again in my purpose. It's like, so we're saying things that we've experienced and that we believe to be true.
Amen. And I love Ann Kusch's comment. He says, wow, even when we are faithless, he is faithful. I mean, you hear from Bible, so-called Bible teachers and preachers, you know, with you don't have faith, you don't have a chance. But think about it. To those that are called, even when we have no faith, it doesn't diminish or tarnish the faithfulness of God. I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, did Peter have any faith after he denied the Lord three times? No. He went back, took up his old profession. It was over, and yet Jesus pursues him. In fact, all of the disciples, how about that? All of them that fled from Jesus on that Friday, he sought them out. Even two disciples that are mentioned in Luke chapter 24, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I mean, Jesus, before he is, you know, before he ascends to his Father, he's like, no, there's two guys on this road. I'm going to go down that road. I'm going to find them. I'm going to restore them. I'm going to pursue them. And he just doesn't ever quit or give up. And I love, I think one of my favorite verses in all of the scripture is found at the end of Mark's gospel. And it's so beautiful because it's Christ in a post-resurrection appearance. And he says, I think, one of the most remarkable things that you could ever hear. And that was when the woman came to the grave site, and they were looking to see, you know, they were going to embalm the body of Jesus. But that's when they were met. The angel spoke to them, and he says, he's not here. He said, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And then the instructions to the women were, go your way, tell his disciples, and then these next two words, and Peter, that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, even as he said unto you. Why did you have to include those words, and Peter? Mm-hmm. Because nobody was feeling the sting of, you know, forsaking Christ quite like Peter was. It was almost like this message was hand-delivered by God to Peter, saying, I'm especially going to pursue you and find you and let you know that when it comes to the call of God upon your life, nothing you could ever do will sever you from it.
Wow, that's amazing. You're listening to The Grace Hour. If you've got any comments, please post them at Facebook Live or at YouTube Live. We'll read a couple in a moment. Also, you could call us, 410-483-3700 is the number. Also, a toll-free number in North America, 1-800-338-7060. We'd like to hear from you. Corinna says, bonjour from Paris. We had a blessed time with Pastor Schaller. Yes, we saw some of those pictures. We listened to some of that. Thank you for posting that online, and we were able to be a part of it and listen to Pastor Schaller. It's, you know, I think we enjoy listening to Pastor Schaller talk with translation.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great part of his missionary life that he's lived. And it's like, talking with translation, sometimes you've done it, I've done it. It can help you a little bit. It gives you a pause there to up the next line. It's like,
true.
I deliver some of my better sermons, messages, because I have that moment when they're, you know, talking.
I agree. It does give you that extra few moments to pause and to really reflect and think about what you're going to say.
Yeah, you got an audience, you know, we speak English all the time, and sometimes there's some idioms of speeches and turns of phrases that we know won't come across, that we have to sort of like refashion that. So it was really great. But back to the topic you're talking about, Peter, I think it's really interesting that we read from Paul in Galatians 2 that we live our life by the faith of the Son of God, which I think is a really important statement. Like, what kind of faith are we living in? Generally, people try to manage their own faith or increase their own faith, but really, we are asked to live in the faith of the Son of God, and that faith of the Son of God was a faith that he lived throughout his life from the manger all the way to that moment when he committed his spirit to the hands of the Father, and then, you know, really committed his body to the hands of the people who would take it down. Like, you know, all of this is an exercise of faith in the purpose of God. So, and Jesus told Peter, I'm going to pray that your faith fail not. And that's like really a profound statement, because the faith that God was going to allow Peter to develop with the Holy Spirit entering into him was the faith of the Son of God. It wasn't a faith that Peter, we saw the end of that faith. You know, faith exercised itself when he swung the sword and bloodied somebody's head. It had Peter and God, Jesus had to rescue that man from Peter's violence there. And then Peter sitting by the coals, and a little maid accuses him of being one of the Galileans, and he has no faith at all. It's like, but the faith of the Son of God cannot fail, right?
That's it. Thank God. And yeah, you see, Peter, as you said, is that classic example, because so often, well, I think his life was characterized by self-confidence, and it just that self-confidence reached its height, it's the pinnacle when he, you know, told Jesus, though everyone forsake you, I will never do that. And of course, you just know when he makes those kinds of statements that he's not ready to be used by God.
Really?
He's so full of himself, there's no room for Christ to fill him. And, well, and I love what you said, you know, Jesus never prayed that he wouldn't fail. He did not specifically pray that he would be kept from failure. The prayer was very specific, that your faith doesn't fail. A reminder to all of us, when we fail, it's not about the failure. Don't magnify it. Sometimes we can get so occupied with it, we can rethink it, we can rehearse it, we can go over it and over it again in our souls, and we can say, what, why did that, how did that happen? Listen, it's because we have an old sin nature. That's why it happens. But rather than magnifying the failure, let's magnify the grace that's going to get us back on our feet and get us moving again in the right direction. Let's magnify the fact that we can confess our sins and he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because that's all that God cares about. He's not so much interested in our failure. He said he came to die for that and to pay for that. What he's interested in is making sure that our faith doesn't fail, which is make sure you rebound. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I remember, during this football season, there was one of the players that, you know, particularly tough loss. He came to the podium and he said, we can't let this loss beat us twice. We can't let the loss become twice the loss. And I think that's what you're saying. You don't want the failure to become the thing that you put your faith in. It's like, you know, yeah, that's very easy to put your faith in your failure, you know, because we fail all the time. That's a repeating cycle. You know, Paul said that, you know, when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Read Romans 7. You got to read all the way to the end, though. He said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, has delivered me from this body of death. There's no condemnation. Those are the things we you know, like you're saying, get into that faith. Faith, he cannot deny himself. I guess that's another big statement that we have to realize, is that because the faith is really based on what he puts in us, himself, the Holy Spirit, when he's telling us he cannot deny himself, that's more than just a feeling. That's an absolute, what Martin Luther called a forensic legal fact. It's like you are living in a faith that cannot fail. You are living in a faith that cannot fail.
Wow.
That's, isn't that amazing?
That's so good to know. But I don't know what it is. We can sometimes rehash and rehearse our failures to such an extent that we can almost build a monument to it.
Yes.
And in our minds, it becomes so great that failure is greater than what God said he did about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually magnify our sin above and beyond what Christ did for that, about our sin on the cross. That's incredible, because because where that's going to lead you is you're going to end up glorying in your failure instead of glorying in the cross.
That's true. Boy, that's really like a hyperextension of the self-life, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you become so consumed and so convinced that your failure is a finality that you can't bring yourself to the one who can bring you out of it. It's like...
And it sounds like humility.
Yes.
But it's pride.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pride.
The root of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We could expound on that. That's like, we're going to think about that, I think. You know, awesome. All right, we do have a caller from York. Pastor Duke is on the line. Welcome to the Grace Hour today, Pastor Duke.
Hi, Pastor Steve. This is, what a wonderful program today. Like always, it's just so refreshing. And I was thinking about many, many believers wrestle like trying to figure out their call. And I think it's just really simple. I was thinking about it in relationship to marriage, and God uses so many, you know, so many illustrations of our relationship with Christ and marriage. And I was thinking, you know, when you're with your wife and you're somewhere, like just say you're out somewhere or you're meeting a friend and that individual has someone there that you've never met, and it's not at all difficult to say, hi, my name's Duke, and this is my lovely wife, and you introduce them, and it's very easy because the love factor is what alleviates all the inhibitions and all the fearfulness. And when we're just overwhelmed with God's love, Pastor Love, as you shared so awesome in this message today, when we're just so enamored, really, with God loving us, and then when we meet someone, the call for them to be saved, it really comes because of the call for them to be loved. And just like we would have no problems initiating and introducing them to the love of our life, our wife or our family, if they're there. It's a great example of how love is the motivation, right? 2 Corinthians 5:14, we're compelled. It's by love. It's not duty. It's not we're overwhelmed with the burden of the Great Commission. It's the great privilege to love people and to tell them about God's love. So just thank you so much for this program. I love you guys.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Pastor?
I like the way he stated that. We should almost call the Great Commission the great privilege, because that's what
Amen.
It is. That's what it is. That's a yeah. great way to describe it, Pastor Duke. And when you are motivated and constrained by the love of Christ, you realize as you share the gospel, wherever you share it, in your neighborhood, with your next-door neighbor or across the ocean, you realize what a great privilege it is that God has entrusted me with this message to bring it to others, because it's a great privilege.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
it's
you.
It's a step of faith, isn't it? You got to step out in faith, because wherever we are, if God's put us and there's people there, I just think wherever it is, right, we're at the grocery store, we're at church, we're at the post office, wherever we are, and there's people there. Someone was asking me on Sunday, how do you know, like, who to talk to? And I said, if they're alive and they're breathing and they're in front of me, then that's who I'm going to talk to. Amen.
Yeah. True. And Amen. Can't we say also that, you know, the people that you talk to, maybe some of us, we will never have that opportunity. In other words, the people in your sphere of influence, you have the privilege of bringing the gospel to them. The people in my sphere of influence, and each one of us, we're going to talk to people that someone else and no one else is going to have a chance to talk to. So, as you said, God has put us there, placed us there, called us there, and we just get to enjoy that privilege.
Amen. It's such a blessing and an honor to just talk to people about how much God loves them, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Duke. Thank you, Pastor Duke from York, Pennsylvania. You're listening to the Grace Hour. We're about out of time here, about 3 minutes to go. Let's see, praise God. Jane is saying, praise God, failure isn't final with the Father. Julie in London, thank you, Julie. We thank you for your faithful ear. You're always listening, always quick with a great comment every now and then. Aretha saying, oh, amen and amen. And yeah, we are rejoicing. Again, we want to remind everyone again that this week we have a midweek service, actually tonight, Wednesday. It's like Wednesday, every Wednesday, we have a service, and it'll begin at 7 o'clock this evening, and we'd like to see you there. So come on out to our place here, Greater Grace Church at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, and be a part of our service and fellowship. Yep, our engineer, Cody Walker, he'll be here. He'll make sure that you can hear the message, right? Or will you be cameraing something, yeah.
He'll be working, that's for sure.
He'll be working, that's for sure. And we'd love to hear you talk with you. Final words today, Pastor Schaller? Pastor Love? Pastor Schaller
tonight,
maybe.
Thanks for that comment.
Appreciate that.
just a quick thought. You know, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast about tomorrow's broadcast. I've had my eye on that since, we have printed out a copy of our schedule for this week. The message from Pastor Stephen, seize the opportunity of grace. So I've been looking forward to that. I hope that our listeners will join us tomorrow, because that sounds like it's going to be one of those great messages, because, you know, we can sometimes miss out on those opportunities of grace and can't do anything about the ones that have passed us by, but we certainly hope that the next ones that come along will be able to recognize and seize those opportunities. So I'm very much looking forward to that message on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, and we invite you to like and share our Facebook page and the YouTube page so that you can help build our audience. We have a worldwide audience, as you heard. We've heard from Paris. We've heard from Sweden. We've heard from Finland. We've heard from India. We've also heard from Azerbaijan and other places. So it's a worldwide audience. Anyone can log in and be a part of the Grace Hour. So, friends, again, we want to thank you for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll be back tomorrow. Again, as Pastor Love said, seize the opportunity of grace. Hey, listening to the Grace Hour is an opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss an opportunity to hear from one of the great preachers of all time, Pastor Carl Stevens. And we know what his words and his messages from God did for us. Join us tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S. and listen to Seize the Opportunity of Grace. You won't be sorry. You won't be sorry. So for Cody Walker, for Pastor Love, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. Good afternoon, everyone. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.